is on.
Introducing Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I am super excited for my next guest today. I have Miss Sarah Massey. She is the business development director for Spring Garden Lending, specifically in the DC region. So I'm excited to talk to her about her journey in real estate and all the offerings that Spring Garden has for the marketplace for developers and investors. So Sarah, how are you?
I'm good on this rainy Friday here in DC. Thank you so much for inviting me on. This is such a wonderful opportunity that my business partner, Greg Goldstein here in DC, did not have. he was not the right shape.
Yes, I really appreciate you for coming on, taking your time today. Really excited to talk about, you know, everything with Spring Garden, but definitely want to focus on you and your journey in real estate. So let's get right into it. How did you first get started in real estate?
Yeah, so it's a pretty non-conventional journey into it. My background is actually in nonprofit fundraising. So you may have heard of a little organization called United Way. A lot of people recognize it as the hand logo. And I did that for 5 years and started in Central Florida and moved my way up to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that I did right away when I got up there was I just started researching the city, history, who the community players were, all of that, you know, because in order to fundraise for a community and really understand it, you have to be out in it and you have to know how it got to where it is. And in that process, I started to realize that a lot of the issues that we were addressing, you know, societal issues related to education disparities, income, health access, all of those things, a lot of the challenges there are rooted in city planning, of all things.
Right.
And so I kind of had a light bulb moment where, like, okay, I've been raising money for these issues for about half of a decade, and the ask really never changes, and it gets old after a while. And so I thought, you know, in order to address some of these issues on a deeper level, you know, I really want to understand more about city planning and how that impacts these societal issues. And so I decided to go back to school. I went to the University of Pennsylvania to get my master's in city planning, and I just graduated in May of 2022. And you may be wondering, okay, how does that get you into real estate finance? And I had two classes with a professor named Andy Rocklin. And one day we were out for coffee and I was talking his brain off about my thesis. And he brought up the notion of, hey, why don't you come work for me? And at the time he had just started his new position at Spring Garden Lending. And my initial thought, although he says I wore it on my face as well, was no, absolutely not. I do not want to work for a bank. And over the course of some more conversations, which I'll explain a little bit later, I realized Spring Garden Lending is not a bank, and it actually touches on a lot of the issues that I deeply care about. And so it started as just a data analytics project over spring break. The organization wanted to understand who their borrowers were and what types of projects they were financing. And not just terms of aggregate dollar amounts or you know, basic counts, but were the units that they were financing truly affordable? Mm-hmm. Were they lending to people who were historically underserved? You know, that is something that this day and age is so, so important. And so over the course of that project, I understood their portfolio pretty in depth. And as graduation loomed, Andy broached the subject again, hey, come work for me. And at that point, I was pretty convinced. And so started my journey with Spring Garden Lending up in Philadelphia, and then moved down to DC in August of last year. So that is the kind of long-winded version of how I got to where I am now. You know, just as a junior lender, I guess, here in DC, and just learning more all the time. I mean, you have to in this market. So.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, congratulations on graduating last year. That's an amazing accomplishment. I want to back up because you said so many things I want to ask you about there. So first of all, when you decided to pursue urban planning, I know you said you wanted to kind of get to the root cause of some of these systemic issues that you were raising funds for with United Way. What made you, I guess, what was the thought process of your mind for wanting to go to UPenn? Did they have a specific program that you were interested in?
Yeah, so they have one of the top city planning programs in the country. Mm-hmm. And they also have a lot of different development tracks that you can go into. So my focus area was public-private development, which is a lot of like large-scale real estate development. So a lot of creative financing, like new markets, tax credits, LIHTC, a lot of things that touch just complicated projects and processes. Mm-hmm. But there's also tracks in transportation planning, housing, community, and economic development, which is also very fascinating. Smart cities, how we use technology in the places where we live and work. Things like that. And you can move between them. Also, like for Penn, they have it 12 schools program. So you can attend classes in other schools such as Wharton or the School of Education or Public Policy. And so those were some of the reasons why I chose Penn and made the move from Atlanta to Philadelphia.
Awesome. And so while you were also there going to school at UPenn, you had an opportunity to do an internship with the city of Philadelphia. Tell me about some of the different projects you worked on there.
Yeah, so I was with the Philadelphia City Planning Commission for about 6 months. And it was honestly so much fun because I am a huge nerd about zoning. And so for hours and hours on end every week, I attended almost every single zoning board meeting for about 6 months, and I just found it so fascinating, you know, just on a subject matter level, but also it's not uncommon to have sessions that turn into soap operas, and that was just so fun to me. And actually, one of the most interesting projects that I think I worked on there was analyzing the data that came out of those zoning board meetings. Mm-hmm. So were certain districts more inclined to approve or reject variance requests? How involved were the council members in their districts in those cases? What might impact the likelihood of a case being approved or not? Mm-hmm. So that was really fascinating, but we also touched a lot of other, again, social issues. So looking at access to healthy food and how the Planning Commission can incorporate that into the code in order to promote access. So lots of smaller projects like that, but I would say the number one for me was definitely working with the zoning board and that data.
Yeah, for sure, because that impacts so many things, you know, what kind of uses you can put, what is the kind of framework and the makeup of community is all based around the zoning. And I was talking to somebody earlier and we were really talking about how with any type of development project, everything is very political. Like you have to get the buy-in from, you know, personally from the different city council, from the zoning board, whatnot. So you really kind of have to have your finger on the pulse and really have to have those influences there to make something happen that's transformational to these neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it's fascinating to see how different council members choose to get involved or not, yeah. And how that can impact the outcomes of those cases. So without saying too much, of course, but.
Gotcha. So with Spring Garden, the organization started in the Philadelphia market, and then you guys expanded down to Baltimore and DC. Can you just talk about a little bit about that kind of thought process for making that expansion?
Sure. So the genesis of Spring Garden Lending, actually, it started as Valley Green Bank several years ago now. And it did what every bank is supposed to do. It grew to the point where it was bought out. And then the big bank basically said, you know, all of that community-based lending you've been doing, we're not really interested in that. And so a group of lenders, along with Jay Goldstein, our current CEO and founder, got together and formed Spring Garden Lending in 2015. In order to, you know, serve that niche of, again, community-based, smaller-scale development projects. Mm-hmm. So fix and flips, smaller multifamily and mixed-use properties are really the bread and butter of a lot of what we do. And so, again, started in Philadelphia, like you said, expanded down to Baltimore a couple of years later, D.C. Shortly thereafter. And then within the last 8 or 9 months, we've also added a Pittsburgh market. So trying to add a new city every like 12 to 18 months or so. Mm-hmm. So continuing to grow and, like I said, fill that gap in financing where we can.
Absolutely. And so in these times when, you know, the capital markets are kind of uncertain, interest rate environment is crazy, a lot of banks are starting to kind of just put themselves on the sidelines. You guys take pride in kind of filling that missing middle. Like, you're not a bank. You don't have those same strict underwriting guidelines. You're not a private lender, so you can't just kind of make up anything. Talk about how you guys are kind of making your own kind of niche in this market specifically to, you know, fix the underwriting issue, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So kind of the catchphrase for a while has been faster than a bank, cheaper than hard money. Because we do, we actually do sit in technically the classification of a private lender. Mm-hmm. But we just have more of a look and feel and process that is more akin to a bank. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in this market, has actually been very beneficial to us because we're just continuing to do what we've always done. You know, we do not sell our papers on the secondary market. And so we are, you know, we have all of our loans on our own books. And because of that, you know, we are not running into funding issues. You know, we stick by, we can get draws funded within 48 hours, which is really important to a lot of our borrowers. And so that has been really helpful. And on top of that, we kind of anticipated what was coming in the marketplace. And so about a year ago, we started a capital raise, which we just successfully completed. And so now we are just more ready than ever to lend. You know, we have funds ready to go, ready to launch, and we're excited to do it. So, you know, that's how we've been really thriving in this market.
Awesome. And you guys not only do debt, I know in talking to you guys, I've been to some presentations that you've done. You also have an equity product. And then you also kind of, for your, I guess, repeat clients, you'll offer more like consulting services. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the more exciting, I don't want to call them projects, but business lines that we've launched recently have been, like you mentioned, Spring Garden Equity. So for our borrowers who we've, you know, worked with at least on one or two projects and successfully completed, we are able to enter JV partnerships. And in addition to the 75% LTV loan that we're able to provide, the equity portion can help provide up to 95% financing on that project, essentially. So that has been a very popular product of ours. We've seen some great success with that. And one of the benefits is that our return is capped. Once we get paid, everything else that you're able to get on top of that, you know, is yours. It's not just an equal split. So that's something that a lot of people have found very attractive. We also have Spring Garden Capital Advisors, which can look and feel a lot of different ways. We've had individuals approach us looking to, you know, they have a really low leverage portfolio. They're looking to figure out, okay, how can I cross collateralize or find ways to expand and scale up? You know, we've worked with individuals who prioritize the affordable housing portion, and they want to be able to, you know, scale without eliminating that affordable component that they really take pride in. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could just be an individual looking for, you know, a model on how to fundraise equity for their next project. Maybe they have to get a little creative with the financing, finding grant opportunities, and just building out that capital stack. We have the capability to do that. Really, the sky's the limit. Any space that we can be helpful in, not just getting a lender's perspective on, but you know, we have a lot of individuals who have experience in, you know, my own experience in city planning, in the CDFI space, impact investing. We have a lot of tools and resources at our fingertips for that, not to mention the networks available to help connect people to the people that can help them achieve their goals. So.
Absolutely. So you guys are really, really focused on being relationship-based lenders. You don't want to be transactional, do one deal, and then never speak to them again. You want to keep building on those relationships, do more deals, dive deeper with the clients that you're working with.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, my very first closing that I ever did with Spring Garden Lending, it was a mobile closing. And so the mobile notary, when I showed up, said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm Sarah Massey, I'm the lender." And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Oh, I'm here for the closing," thinking I had done something wrong. And he said, "I've been doing this for 20 years and I've never had a lender show up at a closing, let alone a mobile closing." And luckily I had my colleague Greg with me, and he was like, "No, this is normal for us." And that's just one example of, to your point, we are very relationship driven. We will show up at the closing, get eyes on the project itself, come out to inspections, the appraisal site visit. We really, really like to, you know, act as partners on this project with you as the developer. So that's something we take pride in. And it's fun too. I don't know that the job would be nearly as fun if we were just sitting behind our computers with our spreadsheets all day. So it's nice to get those eyes on this project, get a little dirt on the boots, and you know, get out. So
yeah. And then, like you said, since you guys keep all of your loans on your books, it's good to really have a like a really deep dive into what you actually are investing in.
Absolutely.
So as far as investing, what about you personally? Is there anything that you're looking to get involved with yourself to invest in?
Personally, I feel like, you know, carrying out the 5-year plan, investing might be in the 10 year. For now, I think one of the more interesting things, we've had a lot of individuals, even my brother has come to us and been like, "Hey, you know, I work in tech or I work in defense or what have you. I have some money to invest. How do you recommend investing it?" And I'm like, "Well, obviously I'm biased, but you know who you came to." Real estate is always a good option. And in our market, I know a lot of people are hesitant because there are so many unknowns and it's behaving in ways that it really never has before. But I would still make the argument it's a good time to invest. I actually was at a presentation a couple months ago, and that individual said, "The only investments in real estate that I regret are the ones that I didn't make." Mm-hmm. And granted, this is somebody who's been doing it 40 years. And, you know, there's been a lot of appreciation in that time period, but he said it has never let me down, you know, especially over the course of 40 years when you've, you know, held a property or, you know, gotten the funds to go ahead and move forward with that next project.
For sure. The adage is the best time to invest in real estate is yesterday.
Second
time is today. And so like, if you're playing the long-term game, like it's best to get in as soon as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So what else is next for you?
For me, again, just working on that 5-year plan. really just getting my feet wet in the DC market. Like I mentioned, in order to claim that you're involved in a community, you have to get out and be in it. Mm-hmm. I would very much like to get a solid grasp on the DC zoning code to the extent that I had on the one in Philly. Right now, just working on the short term, and we'll see where the long term leads. So,
for sure, yeah. No, DC is its own animal, and I know, like, even like they just did the rezoning of the different wards a couple of years ago. So just little nuances like that. The mayor has all these new initiatives to build more affordable housing units. So that's probably going to impact how they zone things. So very interesting times we're living in.
Oh yeah, well, and I mean, to that end, it's fascinating to see how those rules impact the built environment, and then ultimately how people live in those spaces. Again, this is my city planner brain talking here, but I think one of the areas that would be very fascinating to explore is where lending can be coupled with some of those ideas and philosophies, and what we can do to help promote community engagement, or the policies and procedures that go into zoning and approvals and shaping the places where we live. So I don't know of any lenders that are currently doing that. I'm sure they're out there, but that's something that would love to explore, if we ever get to that point.
Well, I know one hot debate in DC is what to do with these downtown areas and these office buildings, try to convert them to create more housing. So if you can figure out that conundrum, very wealthy for sure.
I'll work on it and call up Mayor Bowser.
There you go. You heard it here first. All right. Well, I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to shift to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. Four questions I ask every guest. So first one here is, what is your favorite book about real estate?
So after I graduated, I took a little bit of a hiatus from reading books about real estate. But one, I have a few kind of very, very different recommendations kind of for very different audiences. One that I would recommend for somebody who is just getting into real estate development, and they're not really sure where to start, and they feel like they, need information in the most plain, basic terms you can possibly get it. Mm-hmm. Birth of a Building by Ben Stevens is wonderful. And I actually recommended it to my former professor, now boss, Andy Rockland, and he now teaches it in his property development course. So that is just a really quality resource that breaks down what is LTV, what is debt service coverage, all of those really basic terminologies and concepts into ways that anybody could understand. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that book at the very start of my real estate finance career. Another book for somebody who has been in the space for a while, but wants to explore how they can have intention when approaching development and the impact that their developments are making on those spaces in that built environment. A classic, have to plug it, The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs. Any planner you ever talk to has read it, but if anyone is looking to, again, just kind of like back up, right? And not just see the forest for the trees in terms of the impact of their developments, highly, highly recommend that book. And the last one has nothing to do with American real estate, but if anyone is interested in international development at all, there's a really, really great book called The Concrete Dragon by Thomas Campanella, which outlines the very rapid growth due to the shift in the economy in China. That was probably the most fun I had reading a book in my planning program, just because it is jaw-dropping what has happened in the past 40 years, shifting from a primarily rural society into these megalopolises with a very sophisticated high-speed rail system. Again, if anyone just like wants a break from American real estate or just wants to read something so, so fascinating, that is a really excellent book as well.
Yeah, those first two I've heard, but that last one I'm definitely going to check out, because that is kind of, off the beaten path from the traditional books that people usually suggest. So awesome suggestions. Thank you for that. And second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self when you first started your real estate career?
So that's a funny question to me, because that would be, what would I tell myself a year ago? And honestly, I would just tell myself, have patience, which I would roll my eyes at a year ago, but and give yourself a little grace, because when I entered this industry, I mean, the market was changing everything to the point that even today, nobody really knows what's going on fully in the market. So much has been so unprecedented. And so to not only try to learn a real estate profession, but to do it in this sort of climate is challenging. And I wish I would have known that a lot of concepts that you run into, you don't fully understand until you have encountered them in a deal, at the closing table, when somebody approaches you for a project. And so I would just tell myself, like, it's okay. You're not going to know everything right away. You can try to read as many books or Wikipedia articles or what have you as you want. But I just wish I would have given myself a little more grace there in the beginning.
For sure. I mean, there's people that's out here that have been in the game for 30, 40 years that are still saying they learned something new on a deal. So the constant, like, you're always learning every day, which is one of the good things about real estate too.
Yes. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Last, the third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about personally?
Ken, I have to plug, I would love to learn the DC zoning code, as boring as that sounds to the sane portion of the population. I would say that, and just figuring out how lending can be a part of that somehow. Again, kind of uncharted territory. So I'm not sure how much there is necessarily to learn, unless, you know, we are able to create that path. But I would say, yeah, that would be the direction that I would want to go and learn more about.
Yeah, for sure. Innovation is always a good thing. So
yes.
Real estate is one of those markets that, I mean, one of those industries where there has been some innovative changes, but it's still very much like old school, old boys club. Like, people do things, oh, it's always worked like that, so why, you know, fix it? So I think change and innovation is always good.
Oh, absolutely.
So lastly, not really a question, but can you give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
Yes, I actually have four that I'd like to shout out. We have our three lovely ladies in the Philly office, Deb, Tracy, and Renee. Thank you so much. You taught me so much when I was working up there, and you answered all of my questions very kindly. And then also our newest member of the Pittsburgh office, Kylie, welcome. Excited to have you on the team. So those are, you know, have to give them a shout out, because, you know, we make up about half of our lenders, which in a male-dominated industry, says a lot about the company values in and of itself. But it's been nice to have some female support in our offices.
Love it. Yeah, there's finance is definitely an area we can stand to use more women in. So that's awesome that, you know, there's a lot of ladies on the Spring Garden team. So shout out to them.
Yeah.
So also now, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we do have all of our contact info on springgardenlending.com. My email inbox is always open, smassey@springgardenlending.com. We also have a DC Instagram page that you can get in touch with, and you get to check out Greg and I's mascots, his dog Milo, my kitten Bean. So please check us out there. And yeah, like I said, inbox is always open. So feel free to get in touch for any bridge loans, perm loans. I would love to start that conversation, whether it's here right in DC or, you know, anywhere in the DMV. We are definitely open for business, and we're right here in Capitol Hill. So feel free to drop by. Let's grab coffee. Would absolutely love that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate your time. You're always a pleasure to speak to and just, you know, just share with. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for hosting.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. So lastly, here before we go, any last words of wisdom?
Last words of wisdom. Think about it. I would say if anyone is considering getting into real estate or real estate finance, I would just say be prepared for it to be fast paced, but no 2 days are ever the same. And there are so many opportunities to get involved in multiple different ways. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are real estate agents and investors and developers and title agents. I mean, there's so many different ways to get different irons in the fire when it comes to real estate. And there's so many pathways that, you know, even if you think, oh, I don't want to be a lender, I don't want to work with spreadsheets. There are lots of different avenues. And, you know, real estate has always been a very good investment. And I think that goes for it's the same with career paths as well. So those will be my words of wisdom from a very junior real estate professional.
Well, yeah, you may say you're junior, but just from personal firsthand experience interacting with you, you're very knowledgeable. You're a very hard worker. You're always on it. You're, you know, reliable, get back to people very quickly. So those are the qualities that really matter at the end of the day. So,
well, and working with people like you makes it very easy, who is also very on top of it, very responsive, has all of their documents already prepared and ready to go. I mean, that makes a world of difference as well. So I guess my other word of wisdom for anyone in development who is seeking financing, to have a folder where all of your documentation lives. Your lender will love you for it, and you'll get your loans closed quicker too. So shameless plug, had to do it.
Everybody wants to buy, like, close quickly, you know, get everything done as fast as possible because time is money.
Yep. Well, oh, absolutely.
So there you go. Well, thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing your junior level wisdom according to you. So,
well, thank you, Jessica. Like I said, it's always a pleasure to take a moment to pause and reflect and you know, maybe help someone who's also at the start of their real estate career.
Absolutely, absolutely. So thank you for coming on the show. To close out here, this is another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. Thank you so much for my guest, Miss Sarah Massey, and check her out and everything that's going on with Spring Garden Lending. So we'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much.
Thank you.